Hey, what's the tea, baby? What's the tea? It's RuPaul here. Michelle's going to be here in a minute. She's running a little bit late. And when she does come, she'll probably arrive at the same time we've got the Sedarises who are going to be here. I love Amy Sedaris and her brother David Sedaris. I think of David Sedaris all the time because of his books. His books are so personal that some of the stories, they pop up in my head all the time. So I'm very excited to talk to the both of them and really get to know what it's like to be siblings in a famous family. To be, you know, if there's the rivalries are there and that kind of... You know, I grew up with my sister, Rozzy. She's a year younger than me. And I always wanted to be famous, always from day one. And I would say, Rozzy, don't you want to be famous? She had no interest whatsoever in becoming famous or being a pop star, you know? I always feel like every kid, the narcissism of being a child and growing up, especially in our culture, you know, at one point you want to be a famous model, you want to be a famous rock star, some pop star, something like that. She never wanted that. And it's funny because George, my partner George, he is not a pop culture person. He doesn't care. Like with show business and, you know, I'm around a lot of show business people and parties and meeting famous people and stuff. He could care less. He could care less. He loves music. You know, sometimes he can even stay awake through a movie. But, no, he's not a pop culture person. You know, he doesn't, you know. Anyway, I'm very excited about that. But we are approaching Independence Day here in the United States, 4th of July. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, I'm an American. Born and raised here, born in San Diego, by the way, and I was recently over, I was in Greece for a week, and all it takes is for you to go to another country to really understand how amazing America is. America is beyond. We're a young country, as countries go, and we are so lucky here, so lucky. And it's, you know, some people who have never left or lived anywhere else, it's very easy for them to poo-poo America and to say, we're this, we're that. And we, yes, humans on this planet overall are actually quite primitive, you know, quite primitive. But as humans on this planet go, Americans are fashion forward. And a small example, I don't want to gross anybody out. But the toilet storyline in Europe, you get to understand how old world Europe is when you go to the toilet. And I'm not going to say anything out of line here. So, you know, but when you use the toilet in Europe, most European toilets, debris still stays on the toilet. Okay, so let me back up. Okay, so in America, toilets, they're for waste. The waste falls into water so that it actually never never really touches the bowl, you know? Sometimes it does, depending on, you know, where you've been and what you've been doing. True. In Europe, the way the toilet is designed, it's designed so that waste hits the bowl first without touching the water. You know what I'm saying? Did I explain this right? I'm going to just explain this without getting too gross. That's the thing. Waste hits the bowl, and what you end up with is a dirty toilet. You know, just at the not at the end of the day, throughout the day. But in America, we have solved the issue of having to clean the toilet all the time because water, anyway, I think you get what I'm saying, right? But it's just a small example of what makes America great. No, it's true. It is a small example. And you know, we were in Greece, and Greece is beautiful. It's, you know, it's the birthplace of democracy as we know it today. And they were on the ball for a long time. They had it going on. But sometimes cultures get stagnant. And love Greece, I'll go back again. But I got the sense that they were stagnant in the evolution of you know, moving forward. And the toilets are just a small example of that, you know. But I always feel that, you know, actually, when I came back from there, I said to myself, you know, I will never, ever, ever complain about New York changing so much in my lifetime. I will never complain about New York not being the old New York that it used to be in my youth, you know, because now I realize it's important for things to change super, super fast so that you don't get stagnant. I think it's an important point to make. You've got to keep moving. People ask me about, you know, staying young. I say, you know, being young is all about being flexible, both literally and figuratively speaking. You've got to keep this body moving and keep it moving. But also the way you think and how you're able to adapt and to adopt new ideas. And I think that's what being young is all about. Because I've met young people, early 20s, late teens, who are old fogies, who are such old fogies, old prudes, who aren't open to new ideas, you know? So age, again, Aaliyah, age ain't nothing but a number, you know? But anyway, that's the truth about America. America is always moving, and it's always been about this influx of new ideas that really make America the great country that it is. You know, as we approach Independence Day and the 4th of July, it's important to remember that, and especially in light of some of the horrible tragedies that we've faced. Americans are more than most countries, I've got to say this, are open and friendly, usually. You know, you travel around this country, as I have, all over the place, and you realize that, for the most part, Americans are really open. They extend their hand and say, "Hi, how you doing? What can I get for you?" That's who we are. And, you know, in light of things that have happened recently, it's important to keep that in mind, to not change that, you know. You know, I know that... I went to Moscow once, and Moscow, I believe it's 850 years old. The city is 850 years old, give or take a few years. And you go there, and you see the people's, the way they hold their bodies, and the way they speak. And there's a sense of years and years and years of oppression that has just become... part of their everyday existence, just the way people live their lives. What I'm saying is, obviously, they're not being oppressed right now, but years and years of so much turmoil in that region of the world has manifested in just a normal everyday behavior. There's a certain pained look on their faces, you know, in Russian culture. Not everybody. Now, you guys hear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying everybody's that, but generally speaking, and this is true in different parts of the country, of the world, depending on what happened there, there's a certain heaviness to certain places, regions of the world. America does not have that. Americans, even though we have people from Russia, we have people from all over the world here, generally speaking, Americans are open and friendly and willing to hear a new idea. For my money, I wish we could actually move faster. You know, honestly, I wish there were more things we could move past, how we see other people would be one thing. You know, gay people in this country have had to fight so hard to be recognized as human beings, you know. But we've done it. We've done it. Although I've said this before too, you know, could very easily go backwards. You know, I grew up in the 70s thinking we'd have disco forever. We still have disco. It's just had to change its name and its address. You know, I found that when you live your life in the rhythm, in the light, in the rhythm of music and love and freedom, it does rubs a lot of people the wrong way, especially people who are oppressed in their own lives, who don't allow themselves to feel the joy of what it's like to be a human on this planet. I always love seeing children playing around, and they're new to their body. So they're jumping and they're twirling around. And they're like, look what I can do. I can do this. I can do that. And that sort of joy is really, honestly, is what we should always be feeling. And, you know, if you want to know how to behave and how to live your life, look at how a child is enjoying their body. Look at a flower. Look at a mountain. See how stillness dictates grace and beauty and majestic timelessness. You know, the signs are all around us. And I think it's important for people to be reminded of that. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's through tragedy that people are reminded how blessed they are. And it's terrible. It's terrible that it takes that. You know, humans usually learn things through horrible adversity, especially for them to stick. So the tragedies, the recent tragedies that we've been through, and will probably, unfortunately, go through more of, really reflect. It reflects how important it is to stay on track, because a lot of people are threatened by your beauty, and they are threatened. In The Wizard of Oz, I think Dorothy at one point asked, "Why is this witch after me? What is her problem?" And I'm paraphrasing. The Good Witch says, "It's your beauty. It's your joy. It's the fact that you have none of that stuff going on that she wants to attack you. You know, it's easier for her to attack you than to actually look inside of herself and say, what do I need to do to get more of that? You know, it's easy to attack. You know, on Judge Judy all the time, there are cases where the family of the deceased will sue the wife or the partner of the deceased. And Judge Judy will say, look, it's easier for you to get angry at this person than it is for you to actually grieve your loss. So a lot of times anger is a much easier emotion to deal with than to mourn your loss or what you're losing out on. You know, a lot of people feel so threatened by joy and by living their lives. They feel more comfortable in the darkness. And unfortunately, you know, that's not going to change anytime soon. I think the bigger message is to remember to stay in the light and stay in the joy, and to not let other people's inability to find their light and their joy stop you from doing your thing. I think that's the bigger, more important lesson here. And that this moment could be gone at any second, and it's important to live your life. You know, the gun thing is, it's a tricky one. It's a very tricky one, because I kind of understand the point of the gun people. You know, actually, Lucian sent me a note from someone who had read about something I said in the news or something. And the person actually misquoted me as saying that I said something about assault rifles. Well, I've never used the word assault and rifle in the same sentence in my life. I never have. But this person felt compelled to tell me about assault rifles and the difference between those and hunting guns, I guess you would call them. They broke it down, and that when this debate comes up, I need to be informed as to the difference of these machines or things, these guns. I read it. I didn't retain any of that. But in my mind, I don't own a gun. It's all the same to me. It's all the same. They would debate that. I know that people want to hold on to Is it the Second Amendment that says we can have guns and stuff? I just think it's a complete bore. I think anything that's going to hurt someone like that is old-fashioned, you know? I think we've got to move, as humans, we've got to propel ourselves forward past our egos and figure out another way to deal with this. Actually, I shot a gun a couple of times when I was in my teens. I remember my brother and I went out. We were in Forest Park, Georgia, and we were buying weed from some dude. This is 1977. We were buying a bunch of weed from these dudes, and they had AK-47s, these guys. And they were sweet guys. They were sweet guys. The guy said, asked me if I wanted to shoot it. And I said, sure, I would. And I did it. And I couldn't believe the kick on it. I couldn't believe the power. And this, we were out in the woods. We weren't going to hit anything. I hope not. And there was a certain thrill to it back then. And then another time, I think it was a similar situation, actually. I got to shoot a handgun. Again, I was surprised by the kick. But again, it did not appeal to me. The idea of, I believe, the idea of killing someone, it's just not something I think about. Now, there are extreme situations, you know, and I understand you got to do what you got to do. We all have it in us. We're all animals, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too Pollyanna about this, but there will be death. There will be killing. There will be all of those things. It's the way this world works. I don't want any part of it myself. And I think we have to talk about gun control. I think we have to make it not so easy to buy these things, you know. It's harder to get your driver's license than it is, and it probably should be, especially, you know, the way certain people drive here in LA, you know, because, you know, cars are dangerous too. But, you know, I think I'm sure it's way too simple to just say, get rid of all the guns. I think we have to really get in there and tear it apart and figure out how we're going to make this work. I think it's, like I said, way too easy to be able to get a gun, you know. You know, I've said this before, we're a very primitive culture. And there, you know, if there's anarchy in this country, I know people are going to want to be armed. And they probably should be. They should be, you know. I've said this before, I think there has to be a universal shift in our collective consciousness. We can speed the dial on who we are as humans on this planet. You know, we used to walk around on all fours, you know, but I think that kind of a shift has to happen. Because, you know, let's face it, you know, wars are started and wars exist because of the ego. Someone looks at someone the wrong way, same as road rage on the highway. Someone does something, just one little thing, and it pushes a button that says, you know what, MF, I'm gonna take care of you. And that's really how this stuff happens. So if we're that such a hair trigger ego reaction, how can we speed up the process, evolve to the place where we can work that stuff out in ourselves before we reach for a gun or reach to go and hit someone? I know when I'm in traffic, you know, my mouth is running. I don't flip anybody off, but in my head, I'm doing some character assassinations. I definitely am doing that, you know. I don't know what's gonna, you know, it's hard enough even for myself, you know, hard enough for myself to just let people be. It wasn't meant for me. The fact that they cut me off, it wasn't personal. I make it personal. So how are we gonna change that? You know, how do I advance myself to where I don't react like that? And because that's the kind of a shift that I'm talking about. Are we ready for it? Probably not. Probably not. There will probably be a lot more blood spilled before we get to that place. Who knows? Maybe we're centuries away from that place. Maybe we'll regress a whole lot before we advance. I don't know. Each and every one of us has a part of us that says, if everybody's going to be having fun, then, and I'm not having fun, then nobody's going to have fun. I'm going to take my toys and go home. There's an aspect of these crazy, crazy psychopaths who act out on being left out, you know. Everybody's having fun except for me, so I'm going to take it out on everybody, you know. And there's another aspect to this too, and I brought this up in the interviews post or the Orlando, was the media's responsibility in cases like this. They have to be able to refrain from printing the picture of the person, because I don't want to see the I don't want to see their face, this person, and printing the name, because somehow through the media, they overnight, they become these media superstars. And, you know, if celebrity is the gold standard in our culture, everybody wants to be famous, why make these people famous? And it only encourages other psychopaths to do the same thing. The media has to be responsible in these situations. They have to be able to refrain from pouring into and adding to this destruction, you know, because I think I've seen these cases time and time again, so happening more and more recently, where these people are outcasts and they want to go out in a blaze of glory. Why help them become famous? Why add to their motivation for doing this stuff? You know, and as I said before, there's an element to each of us who feel left out and feel like if I'm not having any fun, nobody's going to have any fun. Well, damn it, why don't you make some fun for yourself? You've got to invest in yourself long enough to have a good time on this planet. It's not just given to you. And I think America is a target because it's because there's so many opportunities here. We are so much more free than any other place in the world. Even just you watch our television, you see people in a park, you see people walking down the street. There's a certain freedom. There's a certain lightness that we have. And that pisses a lot of people off, you know. But, you know, I've said before, it's not just about gun control. It's not just about gay people or ISIL at its core, each of us can relate to being left behind for whatever reason, or not getting what we thought the world promised us or what the world has for us. Then we get angry about it, you know. Well, don't get angry about it. Do something about it. Not harm other people. Get out there and make yourself a viable, loving conduit of light and of joy. If you're not feeling joy, go and make joy. But don't just get angry and make everybody else's storyline horrible. You know, I see this even with graffiti, and I've loved graffiti in certain areas, but, you know, at its core, it's defacing something else to say, hey, I existed, leaving your mark on something, say, I existed. But why do you have to leave your mark at the expense of someone else? Make your own thing, but don't, you know, actually, we were in Greece recently. There was graffiti on beautiful works of art, of beautiful, what do they call those things? The ruins. People do all kinds of horrible things in the name of trying to say, hey, I existed. I was here. You know, I think there's a better way to do that. Is it ever going to change? Probably not. There's been graffiti since the beginning of time. And like I said, I've seen beautiful works of art that are graffiti, but that have not defaced something that was, you know, beautiful. But that is an element in the human experience that we need to address. Is if you don't feel like the only person who's going to make you feel that you existed is you, you know. Most people look for that in another person, in a partner or something. And if you've ever been in a relationship, you know that doesn't work either. It has to come from the inside out, you know. So a lot of things to address here. There's so much going on. That's why it's not just one thing. So much to for us to really have a moment where we look deep in our souls and go, where do we need to change this? All right, so that's enough of that. Yes, and I think I could see Michelle's car pulling up right now. When we come back, we'll have the Sedarises, Amy Sedaris, David Sedaris, and Michelle Visage will be joining us. So stay right where you are. Hey, girl, let's talk about the bedrooms.
Oh, you know I'm about it.
Yes, Adam and Eve, honey.
Ooh, now you're talking. Uh-huh. I used to sneak them catalogs when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, they've been around for a long time. They're a trusted company.
Yeah.
Not like some, you know, fly-by-night company that, you know, comes out of God knows where. Adam and Eve is the real deal. Now, if you're adventurous and you're looking for a new toy or an adult movie, here's an offer you won't be able to resist.
Hit me.
Go to adamandeve.com for a limited time only and get 50% off just about any item.
I have to tell you, I've been married for 18 years.
Wow.
Adam and Eve are our best friends.
Really?
Yeah, because it's fun to keep things spicy.
Well, you got to. Listen, not only will you get 50% off just about any item, when you select one item at 50% off, you'll also receive a free mystery gift.
Ooh.
Can you imagine what that is?
Yes, I can.
Well, honey, it's so essential. We can't even mention it on this podcast.
Shut up.
And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order.
And we are not even kidding.
No, darling. Adam and Eve is for real.
Yes, girl.
Go to adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off any item when you type RU for the offer code upon checkout.
I'm doing it right now.
Go, girl. Let's talk about money.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
You thought I was going to talk about sex, huh?
You and me, baby.
Well, for some people, money is like sex, you know?
Oh, sad people.
Well, no, the truth is, you know, your relationship to your money is very important. And most people, if you grow up with no abundance in your life, you have to learn how to accept abundance in your
100%,
life.
100%, I had no clue.
Yeah, yeah.
No clue. My first paycheck came. No clue what to do with it because I didn't grow up with it.
Well, that's where Wealthfront comes into play. Wealthfront is an automated investment service with nearly $3 billion in client assets under their management.
Ooh.
They make it so easy for you to change your relationship with money. I mean, that's really what this is about. You've heard of the lotto players who win it big and then they lose it all later because they don't have a good relationship. They need to call Wealthfront and get started with a sophisticated, diversified, long-term investment portfolio.
You better say it, RuPaul.
Yes, honey, without all the high fees and account minimums of traditional wealth management.
Did you hear what Ru just said, y'all? Ru just said, no minimum.
That's right.
That is huge.
Huge.
Because a lot of these places go, well, you can't even start working with us until you have $100,000.
Or worse, historically, you know, these companies, you have to have at least $1 million in order to get their attention. That's not the case at Wealthfront. In fact, for our beautiful listeners, Wealthfront is doing something very special.
What they doing?
Well, if you go to wealthfront.com/Ru, you get your first $15,000 managed for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's wealthfront.com/RU.
Do it.
Well, I was asking Michelle, she's worn nails forever.
Since I was...
ever. Child, embryo. Yeah.
1998.
Your bat mitzvah, you wore nails.
I got nails.
Yeah. And I was asking her, when she's visiting her husband, what does she wear, gloves? Well, okay, we are recording now. Do you wear gloves? Do you wear, you know.
Gardening gloves.
Yeah. Now, I know you have a new book, and do you talk about nails in your book?
I don't know. I think in passing, but there's not a chapter on nails.
Well, there's so much you can tell. Well, I want to get to our special guest right now because we are so excited. We're talking about books. We're talking about all of this. We have a famous pair of authors with us.
We do.
Yes, we have Amy Sedaris and David Sedaris. Are with us on the podcast. She's got a microphone over there. You can just put that. You know how those work.
I do.
You just put your lips together and blow.
I think we need to shut that
off. Oh, yes.
We're
going to shut that off. Hugh is over there. Hugh, do you see a remote control for the... Oh, it's up here. Here, I can get it.
Hit that button in the middle, boo.
Yeah, I know this button here. There we go. Now we're fun. So now, guys, you guys are brother and sister?
Mm-hmm. I'm David's younger sister.
You're his younger sister. Yes. I just feel like I know so much about you already through David's books. Mm-hmm. So much. How did you guys get to be so weird?
I think we're the most normal people in this room. To tell you the truth.
I think we probably are. Yeah.
In this room, I think you're right.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Because through David's books, you know, I know that Amy was, you know, doing drag from the very beginning with fat suits and all that stuff.
Yes. Yes. I love disguise kits. You know, anything. Moles, prosthetics. I mean, so, and you were talking about nails earlier.
Yes.
But I would use, you know, scotch tape to put my nails on when I was little. I like to do anything with long nails because it's just crippling. You can't do anything. Mm-hmm. But when I see people with long nails, I assume they're... have a filthy apartment or they have a maid or something because it's limiting.
Well, you assumed right.
No, that would be right. But, you know, obviously, in your book is about crafting. So you started crafting and coming up with being a MacGyver type little girl from the very beginning.
Right. Anything. We're all pretty good at, you know, crafting in our family, know how to make something out of anything.
Wait, where's that come from? Is your dad, your mom?
It's called rigging.
Rigging,
I think we learned
yes.
that from my father, really.
Yeah, but you have to be good at it.
Well, I'm not good at it, but I'm good at telling people what to do.
Right.
I'm good at coming up with the idea and saying, can you make this? And then I'm so happy that someone can make it.
I suck at
crafting.
Usually
people who can, you know, make it can't come up with the idea to make it. Do you
right.
know what
so
I mean?
So it's a team effort.
The other. Yeah,
right,
team.
Right.
There's
like
no
that.
I in team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know. And now, David, and you've chronicled all of this in your books. I've read all of the books. I love them so much. In fact, you have audiobooks of your books. I have that. I got it on Audible, which is actually one of our great sponsors here, and you read it yourself. Now, did your family members say, okay, enough with telling everything about us?
I know, because I bought them a beach house. And so they want a house in the mountains too, so they say, when's the next book coming out?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And he gives us all the best lines.
Yes.
But they're,
yes.
they're good sports that way.
You're lucky.
Yeah, you make us look good. I mean, I think you make us
look
good.
But sometimes people say, oh, I can't believe, you know, the awful things you write about your family. And I say, what did I write that was bad?
Right.
I think it's just the illusion. You know, like sometimes you give the people will say, oh, you know, have you decency? You know, you've exposed everything about yourself. I never write about sex. I never write about who I hate.
Right.
Because that's people really knowing you when they know who you hate.
Yes.
Because then they know who gets to you and how to get to you.
But who's to say that decency draws, you know, who's to say that's indecent?
Right.
You know,
right.
you have to question their taste level.
But I think it's more giving the illusion of doing that. You know, not actually, there's plenty that I don't, there's a lot of things I don't write about.
We've all fallen in love with your family. We feel like we are a part of the family. In fact, I've cast your father, in my mind, would be played by Harold Gould, who played Miles on The Golden Girls. And he's in the movie The Sting.
Right.
And, you know, he's a good looking man.
Yes, he is.
He's he's no longer with us. But Harold Gould,
he's
you know
no
who that is?
He's no longer with us. He'd be perfect.
No, but he's... No. He's still with us because I watch The Golden Girls all the time.
Best.
Do you know Miles from The Golden Girls?
Yes, I know exactly.
That's who
about.
I'm.
Yeah,
and I picture
funny.
Your mother as a Cloris Leachman, but taller than Cloris. But I picture her as how close am I to
mom,
casting?
My mom wasn't. With casting,
mom was probably 5'2".
Yeah,
who would
one
you
one
get
five,
to
two.
Play your mother?
Yeah, I never. Yeah, who?
If I could make if I could have made Elaine Stritch younger.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good. Sure.
Then
that's a good one.
And yeah. that's in total concept, not just the way she looks, but energy and stuff like that.
Attitude.
Yeah, and her voice.
Yeah,
her
attitude.
And her,
I'm not sure Elaine Stritch was ever younger, actually.
Right.
Not ever.
And my dad, because we were talking, my dad has this guy that he is helping out that we went to the beach together. And when my father started talking about this guy, my father has this rental property and this guy hasn't paid rent in 8 years.
Oh, dear.
But my father kind of took him in and is doing all kinds of, and so I said, well, is he going to move in with you? And Amy said, oh God, that would make a great movie. Who should play dad? And I said, Denzel Washington. just because he should be in everything.
Yes. Agreed.
Yes. Right, right. Turn it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with David's books, too, people think we're a dysfunctional family. And like David always says, I mean, we all get along.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all stay together. There's so many people I talk to that are like, don't talk to their mother or their father, yeah, or they have nothing to do with their siblings. And, you know, I talk to my older sister and younger brother every day.
Really?
That's pretty every awesome.
Day.
That's
not by choice, but every day. Yeah. Yeah, every day. Yeah, and David, I would more, but you know, he lives overseas and
costs too much money.
But we go on, you know, like we're all going, well, you, me, and Gretchen, we're going to Japan this, you know.
Yeah, Tokes.
We go the first of every year. We call it Japanuary. Mm-hmm. And so we go there.
Oh, my God, I can't.
And we get together at the, yeah, so when we're people say dysfunctional.
Yeah, David loves to shop.
Yeah, we're good companions, shopping companions.
I mean, that's
she'll talk you into buying anything. We went to Tokyo last year and I left. With the skirt, we went to a Comme des Garçons shop, right, and I left with a skirt.
Well done.
Have you ever worn it since?
I've worn it on stage a couple times. Oh. They're actually kind of culottes, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
bell-bottom shorts.
Yeah.
And people come up, a couple of people have come up and said, look, I'm just saying this because someone needs to say it. You really look awful. For your size and stuff is just wrong.
For your size,
but I don't care. Nothing will. Yeah. Nothing will.
Well, the
stop
best
me.
Thing are the pants you bought with the zips up the back, and your story about being at the urinal and you have to pull your pants
oh,
up.
Oh dear!
And zip
take
back.
Everything down.
I bought a pair of trousers in Tokyo. Again, Amy talked me into it. They come up to my nipples.
What? And like high waisted, super high
waisted. I'm 5'5".
Right.
And are they Comme des Garçons also?
No, it's this Jeffrey Small, I think. He's this guy who lives in Scotland, and he just makes everything himself. And they're beautiful in the way they're lined. And they're just, I should just put them up on the wall and admire them.
Are they like lederhosen?
No, you have like to wear suspenders because you can't keep something up.
Right.
Your nipples,
mean?
You can't keep up.
Why
but
Japan,
she can
though?
Talk you into anything. Why Japan?
Well, I love how polite everybody is. Yeah. That's what I really love, how clean everything is. They're so happy that you're in, you know, gracious that you came into their store. You're wearing something of theirs. And it seems so far away. Like, it really is, like, there's no place else on earth like it.
Have you ever performed there?
No, I've never.
Because
I do a couple kabuki plays.
I have, yes.
No. It's the it's the most bizarre experience. It's literally surreal because they don't applaud and they don't stand up and go insane. They just sit there respectfully and watch your art.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then at the end, they applaud, but then we're screaming, going, get up!
Yeah.
Dance! And
show us your tits!
Like, yes! And we're like, oh my God! You know, you like literally have to force them at gunpoint to stand up and get into your show.
Well, when I was there, I went there with this troupe with Suzanne Barsh in New York, a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. This is 91. And in the troupe, there were about 15 of us, Joey Arias, and there was also Lady Hennessy Brown. You know Lady Hennessy Brown?
I just love that name.
Yeah, Lady her thing was, she was this big, beautiful black woman who, think Grace Jones with blonde, cropped hair.
Yeah.
Her thing was, she would stick to 57, she could get 57 pairs of pantyhose tied from end to end up her pussy.
Knotted together.
Yeah. And then Suzanne, she would open her legs and Suzanne would pull the string all the way across the club to outdoors. And all the Japanese people, it was like they were seeing Mothra. It would split like the Red Seas. It would just split and they were like, and screaming. She could also take a stick of beer up her pussy, stand on her head and guzzle the beer with her pussy, and then get somebody's head and spray it out all over their face.
She also never stopped lactating.
Yes.
So she could spray her milk all over the
But
crop.
I think she took a pill or she did something. I think there's something you can take
like a hormone
to not stop lactating. Because she would squeeze her titty. So first, she would set them on fire.
No, this is true.
She would set her titties on fire and then she'd also lactate with them. And she was 49 when... Yes.
God. Yes. Do you know the first time I remember seeing you that time at the club, at the Copa, you were the one who held the stockings.
Right. Yes, that's right.
And Leigh Bowery was there. Everybody was there. And Rue, being over 7 feet tall in drag with heels, hair, and attitude, mm-hmm. I just remember looking at Rue carrying this thing thinking, she must be drunk because I don't know why a sober person would touch that vagina stocking.
Well, I was drunk and yes. But we toured Japan. Went to Sapporo. Osaka, all of them, about five different cities. What cities do you guys go to?
Well, we stay in Tokes, right? The main
Tokes.
We even go, where else have you been?
You just been to Tokyo.
Just Tokyo.
Yeah, what hotel do you use? Is it Mandarin Oriental?
We rent a house.
Oh, you rent a house?
Yeah, we rent a house. What, Airbnb? What do you do?
It's a concrete, super modern house. We rent three floors of a five-story house, and it's $450 a night, and it sleeps seven.
Great.
And it's in a great neighborhood.
Sleep seven.
But there's this store that I love there called Capital, and everything looks like it set on fire and then was thrown overboard on a ship and washed on shore like 20 years later. Right. And
David Sedaris will buy it.
Oh, yeah.
All insanely expensive. And so that's in the neighborhood where we rent our house. But they have this store, and in the window is a window display. They had three enormous dildos, which you could never do that
in a window display.
Just in a window
beautifully
display.
Beautifully carved. I mean, they were not, yeah, wow. They weren't for sale. We all asked.
Yeah, of course.
It's interesting because Japanese culture is conservative on one end of the spectrum, but on the other, it's like all this crazy stuff. You know, how do you explain that? Why would they have dildos, but they're also very conservative? Because I know that Drag Race doesn't come on there because there's some issues with their culture.
But there's a lot of fetish there, a lot of fetish in Japan.
Why do you think that is? Amy, why do you think that's such dichotomy?
That's a good question. Not because they're two-faced. I have no idea. It's a different slam on things. I have no idea.
Well, you know, I remember in David's book, he talks about going to China and expecting it to be like Japan. It wasn't that way at all, was it?
No, people got so angry with me. They got angry. I never liked Chinese food.
Right.
Never and then went to
Even
China.
Though you lived in New York, you never...
Yeah, never liked it. And then I went to China and I really didn't like it. Uh-huh. Just didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
And people got so angry.
And then, you didn't like their food?
Yeah. And I said, I love the food in Japan. How dare you compare after what the Japanese did to the Chinese? How dare you?
Right. So it got political, but really it was about food.
Yeah.
But no,
I didn't understand why it was political. Because I think you're allowed not to...
Like food, yeah.
If I didn't like Mexican food, that's okay. That doesn't make me a racist. It just means I don't
it
like
it. It makes you a
food.
Racist.
It does make you a racist. Well, today it does. We're in a different time. The rules have changed. And the way that people think in a reasonable way has changed. And I don't know how to adjust to that. I want to, you know, behind closed doors with mixed company, I say whatever the hell I want to say. But then in public, you have to be very careful because people are overly sensitive.
Yeah, but even when you are exhausting. Careful, people will get you on something else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So why even talk anymore?
Yeah, it's like a lose-lose situation.
It is.
I know. What's going to go on? I just wonder if it'll ever go back. I mean, people have talked about it, like Jerry Seinfeld or people like that, so they won't even do colleges anymore.
Right.
But don't blame them.
You know, the hissing.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some hissing like last week.
Is that the new thing, hissing?
No. You get it in different parts of the country, but... These people were hissing. I was in Provincetown, Massachusetts, doing something. And I said a name. Oh, somebody was asking me, what did I think about the Republican candidates, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said the word Donald Trump. Mm.
Right.
So they're hissing because they need everyone around them to know.
Yes.
That I needed everyone around me to know that I don't like him.
Right.
But no one really cares. All these people are here. Hear what I think.
Yeah.
They're not what you think.
Did you say his running mate should be?
The Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar. Isn't that good?
Just in full costume, Hamburglar.
But he might get votes for that.
it wouldn't surprise me.
It's just a different time, and I don't know how to adjust to it. I don't know what to think. You know, my solution has been, you know, I got up this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I...
Why 2?
Yeah, my body just woke up. I went to bed at 8:30.
All right.
So I woke up at 2, and then I drove over to the CVS because I wanted to buy some scented candles. And I love LA at 2 o'clock in the morning. Actually, no, by the time it was 3 by the time I drove down there.
To the CVS.
It is so lovely. And then I drove over to the Vons Pavilions to get some.
That's 24 hours?
24 hours.
Oh.
Half and half for my coffee. Where, I got some.
Who was there at 3 o'clock?
The people were cleaning the floors and they were restocking everything. And I know the lady there. I said hello to her, the woman who checks you out and stuff. But I love that time of day. I'm afraid that this new way that we live will just push me into this sort of seclusion to where I live at night.
Yeah, it's scary.
And what kind of candles did you get at CVS?
More importantly,
candle. What do they sell it?
They have. We're in the United States of America, and it's everything's 24 hours. They have It's from our dressing room. They have these candles. I think they're $11.95. And I like the white linen because it's not overpowering in the dressing room, you know.
Okay.
And I get a bunch of those.
Isn't that a perfume, white linen?
There's a there's a white linen.
Estee Lauder came
out in the 80s. Yes, thank you. Exactly.
But that's
yellow and gray were the colors of that
that's
year.
Right. Yeah, you know, the commercial.
Yep. I just feel that I'm going to become a recluse. I just feel you that's where I'm headed.
Knowing you, you will. So you're going to have to fight that.
I don't know what's going to happen with our culture because you can't say anything.
So how do you guys handle? You both are so irreverent.
I know. But I mean, it Jerry also makes me laugh. And you need to look at a picture and people will read so much into it. Yeah. You know, you're just like, oh my God, that never entered my mind. It's just a photograph of a seashell on the sand. And you're reading all this stuff into it. It's like, you know, it's not me. It's you. It's like, oh.
Well, I did a thing at the BBC a while ago. It's a story I wrote a long time ago. I went to the Anne Frank house.
Mm.
And Hugh and I, at that time, were looking at real estate in Paris, right? So I just, you know how that is. When you look at real estate, everything you see, you think, oh, this wouldn't be bad if I'd make this a kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And the Anne Frank house is a triplex apartment
in
the center of Amsterdam.
Wow.
It is in a beautiful building.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had the windows with newspapers on it,
price would go
take that off. And it's a beautiful. Yeah. And so I wrote this story about it. And this young couple came up afterwards and they said, we're friended. Who do we talk to? And I said, well, you can talk to whoever you want to, but nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Good
I said,
for you.
Go ahead. Talk to that person. Talk to that. Talk to the people in the lobby.
Talk all you want,
but,
darling.
Nobody cares.
Good for you,
but you know, I think now, you know, Michelle has children. I think that there's a generation of kids who grew up who everybody got a trophy. You know, if I have a friend whose kid is in Little League, and if a kid strikes out, still gets to run the bases.
Mm.
So I think that that way of thinking is what gave people the green light to say, oh, my feelings are hurt. I'm feeling attacked. Who do I talk to? It's like, bitch, I ain't your mama, you know, and I ain't your daddy. You deal with that with a therapist. That's where you go into. But people, because of social media, they want to make it everybody's problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
But that's not life. That's not the way it is. I sat for 2 hours during a track and field practice one day, putting names on 11th place ribbons.
Putting because all your kids. Because
all the kids get... they even
11th
make
place?
11th place. It's like Browns, like Losers. Shit Brown. Oh, 11th brown. Place.
Yeah, there's the ribbons I got.
They just scratch out that second one.
It should stop. It should be red, white, and blue, and it's done. It should be green or brown or magenta.
Well, you know, you think about Amy's show, Jerry Blank, The Strangers with Candy, a lot. It's all politically incorrect humor.
All of it.
You think you could get that done today?
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Oh, but that was, oh my God.
I mean, that was really
so
ahead
brilliant.
Of its time. Yes. And sometimes we'll watch it and say, God, I can't believe we got a lot, so much away with
were
so
they
much.
Nervous?
This is the Indian recipe, you know, the Indian episode.
Yes.
I mean, we were so shocked. And then they would say stuff to us like, you can say dirty Jew diary, but you can't say filthy Jew diary. At that point, we're like, you know. What?
How does that even make, as a Jew?
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense.
Oh my God.
I could say faggot. I think episode 3, I could say faggot. And I think I could say 4, like episode 5. I mean, horrid, episode 5 or something. Like, so it kept, you know, none of it ever made sense.
No, I rewatch them all the time. I constantly rewatch them. And I think about the stuff that's in there. I don't know how you got away with it the first time.
We just were in the woods doing this show, you know, and we didn't have an audience. We didn't know we had an audience, so we did this book called Wigfield. And then all the ugliest people in the world were coming out of the woods. Like, who are all these ugly people? Are like, oh my God, we had an audience for strangers with candy. I mean, ugly. David told me once, he goes, I can always tell when they're your fans, Amy, because they're ugly people. But that's a compliment. Those are the misfits and the outcasts.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they're the best
and
loyal.
It.
Yeah. But we didn't know. I mean, they didn't do any promoting for the show. We were like on Sundays at 5:30. I mean, awful hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know,
it's so brilliant. Hey, we are talking with Amy Sedaris and David Sedaris. We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll come right back. Girl, I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to talk about me undies.
Me undies?
Me undies, yes. They're the world's most comfortable underwear, Michelle.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Now, I've seen this company around for a long time, and it's such a great deal.
It's a fun name, too.
It's a fun name, and they have this fabric that is so comfortable.
Yeah, it's sustainably sourced modal. It's a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. I can tell you, I have the lounge pants that they sell, and I literally can't wait to go home and put them on.
Wow.
My husband has the t-shirts from them. And what I love about them is the softness. You don't feel restricted. It's not like, you know, like some of the times you feel like they're just,
yeah,
you just don't want, this is literally like just like flowy and soft and beautiful. And their underwear are fantastic.
Well, and for people who wear underwear, you know, you spend so much time, so much of your time in them. They better be comfortable. And then why not have them give you a little something extra? Why don't you have your underwear work for you?
Honey, if you don't love your first pair of Me Undies, they're free. No questions asked. Me Undies has dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, which some people love to do.
Yeah.
And Rue, shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada. You could save up to $8 a pair with Me Undies subscription plan.
I love a subscription plan because, you know, after a while, your drawers get tired and they get worn.
And stretched
Why
out.
Why not? And stretched out.
Yeah.
Why not have a subscription plan and, you know, make it exciting.
And if you're gifted like me down below, sometimes they get stretched out quicker. I know it's difficult to hear, but it's the truth. And whether you get a subscription or a single pair, you get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Rue. That's MeUndies.com/RU for 20% off your first order. You guys will love them. They are so soft and delicious. All sorts of different styles. Check them out at MeUndies.com.
Money, money, money. Money makes the world go round.
And we all need it.
We all need it. But unfortunately, most people have a terrible relationship with money.
I know I did.
Really?
For years.
You know, it depends on, you know, how you grow up. Mm-hmm. But you can change that. You can change that by getting involved with people who know their stuff, who know how to work money.
Yes.
You can get started at Wealthfront. Wealthfront is an automated investment service with nearly $3 billion in client assets under their management. So they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They make it so easy for anyone to get access to a sophisticated, diversified, long-term investment portfolio without the high fees and account minimums of traditional wealth managers, you know?
There's no minimum with Wealthfront, you guys. No minimum.
Yeah, that which means, you know, you don't have to pay for all these trading fees.
Because all the big ones, you need $1 million to invest with us.
Right.
So you need $100,000. I'm telling you guys, no minimum is huge because a lot of you, let's say, for example, you're a barista.
Yeah.
And you're saving all this money for something in particular, right? And you say, I don't know what to do with my money. Wealthfront is going to say, give us your $20,000.
Yeah.
Let us make this money work for you.
Right.
Get a return. Get money. Make your money. Make money.
That's right. And for our loyal listeners, Wealthfront is doing something very special. If you go to wealthfront.com/Rue, you get your first $15,000 managed for free. Now, that's perfect for a barista.
Yeah, or even anybody. Look, there's a lot of us like myself. I'm the breadwinner. My husband stays at home. I'm paying for the whole family. After bills are paid, there's not tons left over.
Right.
But there's some left over, and once it builds up, you want to do something with it. You can't just put it in the bank and make no money back. You have to do the smart thing with it. And the good thing about Wealthfront is they support all sorts of accounts, like personal and joint taxable accounts, trust accounts. They have traditional and the Roth IRA accounts, which I have set up for my kids. They have SEP IRAs, all that stuff, LLCs, all of that. They handle all of it. Zero commissions on trades. I got screwed with my first paycheck from the bodyguard because every time they did a trade, I got I came back with nothing. Like, lost almost all my money because I invested with the wrong firm.
Well, that's not going to happen at Wealthfront, honey. Go there, guys. Wealthfront is the place. Wealthfront.com/RU. Get your first $15,000 managed for free.
Yes.
We are back with Amy Sedaris and David Sedaris. It's just amazing. You think about the siblings in families, the ones who are able to emerge. First of all, show business or any type of field is so difficult to become a star in it.
Mm-hmm.
To have two siblings in one family become these stars is kind of amazing. You guys ever wax on that and think, how did that happen? Do you ever ask yourselves that?
Well, I guess I always consider myself under the radar, and I still, you know, I like to do so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I never think of myself as like...
Oh, you are a star. You are a big star.
Could you say that again?
I'm
sorry.
Star.
I haven't got my mic started.
No, you're a big
but
star.
But I know. I don't know. I don't think of myself.
But remember, we used to do this fake cooking show in the kitchen and
Rex
pretend
and
that there were cameras.
Show.
What was it? What?
It was called Rex and Germolina Show.
I mean, we were really young and pretend that cameras were filming us.
Uh-huh.
But then we did a play in New York. And then, what was it, Philip Morris? When I first moved to New York, I called Philip Morris.
Uh-huh.
But they make the cigarettes.
Right.
They're not the...
You thought it was William Morris.
Yeah, I thought it was William
Morris.
Hilarious. And then I called Philip Morris, and then they said, we make cigarettes. And then that was it.
Uh-huh.
And then that was it. I never... But then...
Reviews were smoking.
Yes! Oh my God.
But then we did this play, and then William Morris called us in.
Right.
Together.
And then they said, called us in together. And I remember they said to Amy, they said, "You are a star."
Oh, I don't remember
that. And then they said to me, "And you are a star writer." And I thought, it's about time somebody said that. Like, I mean, I was thinking that was a dream that somebody would say that. And it was in this office, and it was just, I mean, it was, that was so creepy. In a way, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
how did this happen?
But not completely.
We were just minding our business.
But not completely unexpected, because there were so many, you guys were setting yourselves up for this for a long time. And I'm wondering if kids are, if you project that out into the world so hard that you make it actually happen, you know? I don't know. Now, you guys are from Raleigh, North Carolina. Did you guys ever go to Heritage USA?
No.
You never went to PTL? That was where Tammy Faye and those
I love
guys.
Tammy. She was my first, a character that I just loved Tammy. When she had the cooking segment on the show, Bad Ideas, my favorite. She was a really good character.
But you never went to Heritage USA, their park.
Yeah, no.
The theme park?
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, their theme park, which is right outside of Raleigh.
Yeah, no, I've never been, no.
Is it like Bible Land?
Like like, it was like that. I don't know what
it
is
Bush
now.
Gardens.
But I was with her from the beginning. You know, the first time I saw her on TV.
Yes.
It was, I got to be here.
Yes.
In front of a TV at 3 o'clock
tomorrow. Mesmerizing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what do you think it was that attracted you to her?
Well, she was really the first drag queen on television, really. I mean,
the makeup, the accent, the, you know, just sitting there, just the stuff out of her mouth. And today we're going to make, you know, just she was a character.
And there's a sweetness to her, you know, even though with all the religious doctrine, you could see her character through that. You know?
Not in him, but in her.
Not in him, no. Yeah. Not
you
in
almost
him.
Felt bad for her
you
being
do.
With him.
You did. Yeah.
But with her, something showed through. And that's I like seeing that documentary.
Yeah. The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Yeah. I narrated that documentary.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And the company.
That's right.
Yeah. I loved her. She was a kind, sweet spirit. And I like kind, sweet spirits.
Yeah. I always, because she would write to her every time.
You would write to Tammy Faye. Did she ever answer?
No.
Her
Your eye would go right.
Oh, I see.
Where she was, you know, whatever she was doing.
I see.
Yeah.
So now it seems that your books, David, come out about every 3-4 years. Where are you in the progression of the next book right now?
I turn it in a year from January, but I've been keeping a diary forever.
It comes out a year from January? What?
No, it'll come out in June of 2017, I guess. But I might turn it in, because I've been keeping a diary forever. And every now and then I write something and I think, oh, that might work out loud. And so it's just those, just diary.
Now, when you wrote your book, you have several books. Did you go to your brother and say, how do I do this? What publisher is the best one to go to?
No, because mine were more like picture books. I'm such a visual. I like to trigger ideas. So I'm really into putting the image together, you know, and then cooking. And it's just the only thing I know, and hospitality. So, and I had all my mom's old recipes, and, you know, I collect all kinds of props, and I'm just into the visual aspect.
And you love to cook.
And I like to cook, and I put a team together, you know, and just wrote about what I know about entertaining. And then we put these images together, thinking somebody would look at the image, and then it will trigger an idea for them to really. It's for literate people.
Yeah.
Because in Chicago, I lived over a deaf girl, and so when I was at Second City or during Strangers, I always thought, how can a deaf person enjoy what I'm doing? You know, since they can't hear. You know, like, so for Strangers, I would turn the volume down and watch it.
Right.
And be like, you know, can I still follow this story, or can I do a sketch on stage where a deaf person could follow it? You know, something big and visual and a lot of movement to it. And that's what the books were for, too. People who can't read.
Deaf people.
Or, you know, we're people who can't read. I mean, just, you
books
know.
Books for deaf people.
Yeah. Simple things to do. Yeah.
Well,
but I'm interested
in talking to somebody, and they worked at Barnes & Noble, and someone came in and said, where is your book? Where are the section of books for deaf people?
Right.
And everywhere.
Yeah.
They're surrounded by him.
People are so stupid.
You know, it's funny you mentioned watching Strangers with Candy with the sound off. I always think about the ending credits when there's the dancing. And whenever I hear Kylie Minogue's I was going to cancel. I think about the cast of Stranger with the Candy dancing at the end because it's this freaky, weird little dance thing that's happening. I love that show. I love your books. I love you kids. Oh. You're fantastic.
Well, we love you.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you guys were able to come on and be on our podcast. I could talk to you forever.
I'm a big listener of the podcast. Love it. Love how upbeat it is.
Yes. Yeah. We love the upbeat. We love the irreverent. And you guys totally fit that bill right there. It's really crazy. What's coming up next? You got a new book coming out. Are your books on audio? Do you have any audiobooks?
I have I Like You, the cookbooks on audio.
They're not for deaf people, though.
For deaf people, yeah. And I'm a horrible reader, so it's worth listening.
Yay!
So you guys can get the books on audio,
Audible.
Audible. Mm-hmm. Audible. And they're in bookstores and all that. And I'd love to do this again. But until next time, you guys, thank you so much.
Grow them nails.
Grow them nails.
David and Amy Sedaris.
Thank you.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
Love yourself. How in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.